Hello, this is Sheila Bender, and you are listening to In Conversation, Discussions on Writing and the Writing Life. Today I have with me in the studio new Port Townsend resident, Marcia Myers. She's written three books, one called My Hometown, Chico, a second one called My Hometown, Chico, Another Look, and a third book, Special Delivery, about the U.S. Postal Service. I am overjoyed to have her here, and we'll hear about how she came up with her topics. As a child, in addition to having a pen pal, numerous corresponding friendships, saving commemorative stamps, and writing to her father while he was away on an anthropological sabbatical, she regularly engaged in creative, clandestine written communication with fellow classmates. In her own words, "The written word has always intrigued me and spoken to my heart because it requires a measure of thoughtfulness, care, and commitment. The wonderful thing about postal delivery is the dynamic intersection of personal aspects of real people with history, art, the evolution of society, and the advancement of technology." Marcia Myers resides now, as I said, in Port Townsend, Washington, and continues to joyfully practice her culinary skills, cooking for her father, especially in his kitchen, as her own house is being remodeled. Welcome to the program, Marcia.
Thank you so much, Sheila, for having me. I feel honored to be here. I've been listening to KPTZ since I first turned on my radio when I moved to Port Townsend.
That is a fabulous choice that you've made.
Thank you. Glad to
hear it. We have so much to talk about. It's so exciting to me to learn about your titles and what drove you to them. So maybe we should start with the culinary part of your life, because I know it connects to books from something you've told me.
Well, it does. Actually, when I was a child, my father would always take me to local bookstores, and I became fascinated with hardbound coffee table books that had big, bold pictures of recipes. And as a child, my mom wasn't one that spent much time in the kitchen, and I found myself becoming excited by looking at these dishes and desserts that I could make at home in our very own kitchen. So actually, my father bought me my first cookbook when I was in the third grade. And although I may not have been able to read all of the words at that point, I struggled my way through. And now I can easily say that.
And it wasn't the Betty Crocker cookbook for kids?
No, it was not.
More sophisticated?
No, much more sophisticated. I was making crepes for him when I was in the fifth grade.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'd like to visit your kitchen when it's done.
Thank you.
So these coffee table books that inspired you about cooking also seem to have inspired your own books.
Yes, I love art. I enjoy design and specifically, you know, working on my own home and making it a beautiful place. When I thought about doing a book, I thought, what would I want to put on my very own coffee table?
And you came up with?
I came up with a hardbound coffee table book called My Hometown Chico. But let's rewind a little bit on that, because I didn't always know that I would be writing a book. As a young kiddo, I made small books where I colored my own pictures and wrote my own stories and stapled them together using many colorful pens and pencils. Later in junior high, I worked on a magazine staff and made my own magazines as English projects. Ended up working for a magazine later, but I never thought of myself as ever becoming an author. Not until when I was photographing my hometown, Chico, where I used to live for 53 years before I relocated here, I realized that my hometown had changed dramatically. As I looked through the lens of my camera, I watched it change before my very eyes. At that time, I had three stepchildren away in college, all asking me, "Send pictures, Marcia, send pictures of our hometown so we can share how special it is." And when I started to pull my photos together, I realized that I might have a book.
I love that. I love how we do these things when we're kids and don't really think they're really something, but they're our history. And of course, you had the background and the interest. So now you had the purpose.
I did. And fortunately, being connected after living there all of my life and my father being a university professor there, I was able to find someone that I knew from my childhood that was in his late 90s that was a local historian.
And he helped you uncover some information?
Well, not only that, but I would meet with him weekly in his office and tape record him, because his knowledge and stories of the history of the small town Chico that we all knew and loved had changed over time. And I wanted to have that documented because, as you know, history can be lost unless it is documented through books and writing.
Excellent. So then you did a second book about Chico.
I did. Just again, to rewind slightly, this gentleman also had a vast amount of photographs, historic photographs, that he gifted to me to use in the book along with my current photographs.
What a treasure.
Very much so.
Did he live long enough to see the book?
He did. In fact, he was at both of my first book author signings, and he was quite pleased because he had always wanted to do something himself, but I took it so much further than what he had ever imagined that we would ever do.
So a coffee table book is a long way from your stapled books and magazines.
Very much so.
But require some of the very same skills.
They do.
It sounds like you're a good investigative reporter as well.
I really enjoy that.
That's great. So then what led you to the third book, Special Delivery?
Oh my goodness. Special Delivery, the history of the Postal Service, the evolution of mail delivery, and the art of written communication. That's not ever anything that I imagined myself doing. In fact, at the time, I didn't realize that I had been a lifelong philatelist. And gosh, what a funny word that is.
It is. Tell us more about that word.
Philately, philatelic, philatelist. Wow. Oh, my goodness. What is that? Well, it is not just someone that collects stamps. It is someone that's interested in anything that has to do with the post office or postal history. It can either have to do with collecting letters and writing letters, keeping letters, keepsake letters, love letters.
Wonder what word we'll have for people who keep email.
that's a good one. Yeah. Maybe we'll come up with that.
I hope so, because there, like you said, history isn't preserved unless it's written, and there's so much in correspondence that should be preserved for history.
Absolutely, so, and accurately.
Yeah.
That's also very important.
So your book started with understanding that word, or?
Well, I didn't realize that I was going to be writing a philatelic book. I started with just looking into the evolution of mail delivery. It wasn't just the Pony Express. My goodness, the Pony Express, though it was romanticized by movies and books, it only lasted 18 months. But mail delivery that was done barefoot in Florida, that was done by ship or railway or airmail. It's been delivered in a bucket. I mean, how fascinating is that?
How did you find all these facts out?
Well, once I started doing research on mail, I found that there's a very special museum, a small museum, the smallest of the Smithsonian museums in Washington, D.C., and that is the Postal Museum there. And when I called and spoke with a curator, he found it fascinating that I was interested in the U.S. Postal Service, being that I was never a stamp collector and that I had never worked for the Postal Service.
Did he invite you to come visit, and did you?
Absolutely, he did. But that was after much work and research. It was, I think, important for them to see that I was invested in what I was going to be doing with some of the photographs that they offered to me to use. And in fact, they did not charge me for any of the photographs from their special collections.
Do they have a copy of your book?
Yes, they do.
Fabulous. And how long did you stay when you went, or did you go more than once?
I've been more than once, and the first time I went, I was there for an entire week and worked daily with a curator that has actually since retired.
What an opportunity.
It was. He found it fascinating that I had found so many things that he hadn't thought about for years.
Ah.
One of those things being a leather postcard.
A letter postcard.
A leather.
A leather postcard.
Yes.
When, where, what?
The 1800s. They were actually stamped or and hand painted, and they only have about three in their special collections at the Smithsonian's Postal Museum. He had to dig for it and come back to me a few days later in order to show it to me and let me photograph it for my
Had book. You found out it existed and then he yes. went and looked for it?
Yes.
How did you find out that it existed?
Oh my goodness. That's what's so fascinating about the internet. Once you start searching, in fact, that's how my book ebbed and flowed. Once you start searching and researching different information, it leads you to other areas, and it's self-education. And that's what I found so fascinating. It's like, oh, I'm going to need to include this. I had no idea. And as I even talked to postal workers, they had never heard of these things that I was finding.
You talked to current contemporary day postal workers?
I did. And in fact, something that was so fun, I had it approved by our local postmaster to let me job shadow a carrier in California. And I followed him a few different times and his 8-hour route throughout downtown Chico.
Any dogs nipping at your trousers?
No dogs, although if you speak to a postal carrier, they will all tell you that they have been bitten once. And in fact, there's quite a story in my coffee table book about this gentleman that I followed on his route because he was bit while wearing shorts. And you can imagine where that bite might have been when he was wearing shorts, in the crotch of his shorts, and he had to leave his route to go to the emergency care center.
Wow. Perilous.
So it can be dangerous, too.
Yes. Such a fascinating story. And so many of us take the Postal Service for granted, and we groan when they raise the prices of the stamps, or we think, oh, yeah, it used to be there were two deliveries a day, and now there's only one, and now most of us use email to avoid the cost. And to realize we've had this amazing service and to learn the evolution of it through your book is a joy.
Speaking of that, Sheila, I'd like to read just something brief at the front of my book that the Smithsonian's National Postal Museum has posted within their museum doors. So if you don't mind, I'd like to share this. The United States Postal Service is a vast, intricate network, more than 200 years old, and it connects us all. Its mission is to provide service to a growing population with hundreds of millions of delivery locations. Achieving this mission is an ever-evolving challenge of engineering and imagination. For more than two centuries, the postal system has adopted and invented a remarkable array of new systems and technologies to get the mail into your hands.
You are listening to KPTZ 91.9 FM, Port Townsend. In case you just joined us, you are listening to In Conversation with Sheila Bender, discussions on writing and the writing life. Today, Sheila is talking with recent Port Townsend resident Marcia Myers about the writing and production of her three coffee table books.
Is there more that you could read from that?
Well, absolutely. I'd just like to read the very first page that explains how this book came about. Dearest reader, in an extraordinary bit of serendipity, this book seemed to naturally unfold in front of me. A lover of design, creativity, and connecting through the written word, I wanted to craft an artful read about the history of letter writing, the Postal Service, and unique delivery methods of correspondence. As part of my research, I took a trip to the Smithsonian's National Postal Museum in Washington, D.C., where I was fortunate to spend time in the Smithsonian Library. It was there that I became enthralled with dramatic and compelling historic black and white images of postal history and the evolution of mail delivery. I am grateful to be able to share many of these photos within the pages of this book. This project has ebbed and flowed, but it has been a constant in my life every day for quite some time. The one thing that has never changed since special delivery began is that I have been powerfully passionate about it. Special delivery expanded into more than I ever imagined. It's almost as though it became a force of nature. The more I read about postal history, the more I became engulfed in a project that I found both intriguing and acutely important. I cherish personal engagement. There is no substitute for a genuine connection. When it comes to sharing someone's true thoughts, sincere sympathies ardent love, or deepest gratitude, words traveling along an invisible superhighway will never suffice. Why? Because sending a letter is the next best thing to showing up personally at someone's door. Ink from your pen touches the stationery. Your fingers touch the paper, and your saliva seals the envelope, sealed with a kiss. Something tangible from your world travels through other hands and machines, then is delivered to your intended box. Your letter is then carried inside as an invited guest. The paper that was sitting on your desk now sits on another's. The recipient handles the paper that you handled. A real connection is made that contemporary forms of communication will never begin to touch. As an author, I create books for the same reason people write letters. I'm sharing my book with you because writing helps me to illuminate my thoughts and share something that I find fascinating. And I want to be connected. I have a profound partnership with my graphic designer, Connie Ballou, who has clearly been able to see my vision from the start. We are simpatico. Together, we have been able to build a book that I am delighted to share with you. It is my hope that Special Delivery will help you see the intensity of personal relationships through the art of writing, making a difference to each of us throughout the world. Share, love, and connect through the written word. Read about the incredible history of our postal service. There is nothing like the power of the pen.
Ah, thank you.
You're welcome.
It's maybe going to make me turn from email just a little bit back to handwritten notes and letters. We do think differently when we're working with our fingers and a pen than I think we do when we're typing.
Oh, very much so. In fact, right now I write to my youngest child. He's just getting ready to graduate from high school. And because my home sold so quickly in California, I relocated here a few months earlier than I had expected. So I write to my son every week, and he's keeping a huge box of my letters.
Yeah, there's something so wonderful about having letters from the past when you look back. I read an article recently in the Seattle Times about a teacher who had in the 80s her students write letters to their future selves, and then she was supposed to have mailed them to them at some point, but she didn't. And years later, after her death, when her children were looking through her house, they found the letters. They were addressed, that they mailed them to the students, and most of them got them. And they were so warmed by seeing this letter that they had written. There's a lot of magic in the air about letters.
I've heard many stories just like that. I have a friend recently that her parents had passed away, and she had no idea that her father had written love letters to her mother, and that her mother had kept them and never shared them with her. And it gave her such insight to her parents before the children were born and the love they shared before they became that family.
Right. And there are things that parents don't share from before they were parents.
Exactly.
So, fabulous.
Exactly. What about a message in a bottle?
Right.
I've got a section on my book.
Do you?
That. Absolutely, I do.
How does that fit with the postal service, do you think?
Well.
It's just something you wanted to do.
Well, there's something called mail art. I've actually sent a message in a bottle via the USPS Postal Service. And it was delivered. And
to
it
where?
Wasn't wrapped. I sent it to poor Townsend from Chico, California.
And it was in a bottle, and it just went to the town of Port Townsend?
It did. You can send anything you'd like via USPS as long as it has the right, accurate postage on it. People have even shipped snakes and eggs.
What happened to your message in a bottle that you shipped?
It was received. It arrived on Adams Street right here in Port Townsend.
All right. And then you don't know.
Oh, I know.
Oh, you do.
I know the recipient. And I wrote her a brief message and decorated it. I put sand from the beach that I had brought back to California and a few little seashells and wrote her a note.
So this is like mail art.
Mail art. Yeah.
Lovely.
It's alive and well.
Right. Thank you for reading that. Now people are going to be interested to know where they can find the book.
I work part-time downtown at Earthenworks on Water Street. And given the fact that my graphic designer made such a beautiful, artful book, it is something that they feel comfortable selling at their gallery. And in fact, if you'd like something personally signed by me, that can be done as well.
Fabulous. It's so nice to know it's so close by. We can just get there and look at it and buy it. And I know for one, I'm looking for a gift for a very special person, and this might just be perfect for that special person. Now what? What do you think will happen?
Well, it's time for me to start marketing this book again, because although my Chico books were not just specifically for Chicoans, those books, in fact, it surprised me, things I never thought of, went all over the world as gifts. People that were in Afghanistan received them as presents from loved ones. Anyone that wanted to share how important their own hometown Chico was with someone were giving those as gifts. In fact, I personally handed over my book to Jeff Bridges, who was staying at a hotel in Chico, and it was used in the room because it was a local book. I met with him and handed it right over to him and signed it to him personally.
Ah, lovely.
It's quite fun.
What was he filming in Chico?
He wasn't filming. Oh. He was actually there at our auditorium with his band.
Oh.
Felt quite honored to be able to actually get a hug from him and write a personal inscription to him as well.
So authors never really do know how far and wide their books will go.
No. In fact, Billy Joel has a copy of that very book as well. And Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And how do you know, and how did it happen?
Well, it was a local Chicoan that was best friends with Billy Joel's daughter living in New York City. And again, wanted to put together things from her hometown that were special as a gift for Billy. Can't tell you whether or not he still has it, but it was part of a gift to him.
And the other one?
And Arnold Schwarzenegger, who actually calls me by name, Chico Girl. And it was when he was running for governor. He visited our hometown, Chico, often. So yes, he has a copy as well.
Yeah. I love the way your mind works. I love the way you get involved in projects and they expand, as you've told us, and you include the research of others, and it's so personal. I mean, you've gone from your idea to making connections to archivists at the Smithsonian, to the elderly man in your town, to celebrities, to people who want to honor Chico as you did. It's really gratifying to listen to.
Well, so thank you.
When you start marketing your book again, special delivery, do you have any special ideas yet?
For marketing, it's important that I get out there myself to do it, because it's a project that I fell in love with, and that's why I'm able to do these things. I become almost obsessed with these projects, where it becomes a constant in my life every day, where I'm constantly thinking about the book and not so much about marketing the book or what someone else wants to see. It's about making something beautiful. And I guess if I'm speaking to other authors or someone that would like to do a book, just start. Just start. Get that folder open on your computer. Carry your Moleskine journals in your backpack and start making notes. It doesn't have to fully make sense in the very beginning. That will come. It honestly will come. And you can end up with something very beautiful to share, either with just your family, keep it personal to yourself, or share it with the world.
So you're really talking about follow your passion. You don't have to understand it. You just have to keep following it and gathering information.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Well, in our area of the world, I think that many authors do presentations at the Jefferson County Library, at the Port Townsend Library. There's, you know, other neighboring towns' libraries.
Sure.
And I think that that would be a fabulous place for you to begin making your personal connection, showing people the book. Many of them allow authors to sell their books. I think one idea I would have for you is never, especially with this kind of book, never neglect the libraries, because they have huge audiences and they encourage presentations from authors.
Thank you for those ideas. Those are very good. And I'd like to start getting back into the circuit, the philatelic world, because I have attended shows. In fact, the last one that I did before I moved here was in Portland, Oregon. My book is very different from textile educational books because it is a coffee table book. So it does make a good gift. And it's not just for people that are philatelists. It's for someone that is interested in how letters get to someone's front door.
Exactly. Something we don't really think about, or maybe we grouse about too often. So I'm really excited about your ideas and your book. And we have a few more minutes, and it was really fabulous to have you speak directly to authors or wannabe authors about what to do. So when you self-talk, as we all do as authors, what allows you to get over? We haven't talked about any obstacles. Mm-hmm. You've had a, sounds very nice, receptive, smooth sailing journey, but there's always some obstacles.
I'd say the very first obstacle that comes to mind is bearing your soul. And you're really up for a lot of critical eyes when you publish something or self-publish something. It's not for someone with a thin skin, which truly I do have. I'm a sensitive soul. You just have to feel secure enough about yourself to share it with the world. It's not something that comes easy, but there are those critics out there that will look for things that are wrong instead of looking for things that are beautiful. Mm-hmm. I had someone in my close network that said to me, I read every word, and that's all she said. So it left me wondering, well, did she like it?
And you never found out.
That's never found out.
And what about her tone of, or was that written? What, did she have a tone of voice?
It was her tone of voice.
It wasn't like, oh my goodness, I read every word.
No, no. But this person's very black and white. Yeah. So
is she a writer?
She's published, yes.
Yeah. I find that among writers, unfortunately, when somebody has success and has done something beautiful, some other writers aren't laudatory about that effort. Instead, they're looking for what's wrong so they can feel better about themselves. Because actually, we're all thin-skinned, mm-hmm, and especially writers carry their heart on their sleeve. Mm-hmm. But you're right. And sometimes the first audience that it's hard to be okay with is yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an obstacle in writing, is being overly critical instead of letting it come and then looking at what you might pare down or expand on.
It's a very big difference from sitting in your office when you're in your jammies and your UGG boots with your cup of coffee and being able to write and create, to actually birthing the book. It's as though you're pregnant with the book and you're nurturing it and thinking about all of your hopes and dreams, but then it's time to raise it. And raising the book, marketing the book, is a whole nother animal.
Letting it go, too,
yes,
as a grown child.
I agree.
Nobody raises a perfect child.
Nobody right. does. Nobody right. does.
So anything else you'd like to tell us?
I did print this book in China. I followed it there both times, actually, with the Chico book I did.
What does that mean?
I traveled to China to watch the press run and be there for quality control to make sure the print process went well and that the colors were correct and accurate.
Did you go by yourself or did you have your collaborator?
I took Connie Ballou with me, my graphic designer. We're very dear friends, so we also were able to make a fun trip out of it as well. It wasn't just work.
Right. Where in China did you go?
To Guangdong, in the Guangdong province.
Uh-huh. What an exciting adventure.
It was.
The whole book has been.
It
and
has
again,
been.
All the personal connections, even to the point of watching the print run.
Loved it all.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And I hope that you'll be writing about Port Townsend and surroundings, the Olympic Peninsula, anything that grabs your attention, right? And makes you be that person who just sticks with it and gives us something beautiful in the product of all that passion.
Sheila, you're such a kind person. I really appreciate you interviewing me today.
Well, I appreciate your being in Port Townsend. I hope everybody goes to the
Earthenworks Gallery on Water Street.
Right, takes a look at this beautiful, beautiful book. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
In Conversation is produced by Sheila Bender and edited by Charlie Fleischman.